Tonight on the Worldview Weekend Hour, Congress is on the verge of passing legislation, part of the defense bill, that would require women to register for the draft. We are live tonight, July 25th, 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time. I've been warning about this piece of legislation for a long time. Even before that, I was warning in my book, Grave Influence, in 2008, the year I wrote it, came out in 2009, that this was coming. It's not just about mandatory draft for women. It's also about mandatory national service, brainwashing centers for America's young people. My guest, United States Marine Captain Udell Meyer, retired. The Worldview Weekend Hour begins right now.
WVW-TV presents the Worldview Weekend Hour with Brannon House. Whether the topic is law, science, government, economics, history, family, social issues, education, or theology, Brannon brings the issues of today into clear focus through the lens of a biblical worldview. And now, here is your host, Brannon House.
Good evening and welcome to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us. We're live tonight, Sunday night, July 25th, 8.02 p.m. Central Time. We're broadcasting at wvwtv.com/live. We're broadcasting on Lindell TV and also at frankspeech.com. And we appreciate the VCY America Radio Network and TV 30 for picking this up as well. Tonight, my guest will be, in just a few minutes, United States Marine retired Captain Udell Meyer. He served in Vietnam, injured in Vietnam, fought communism in Vietnam. And my friends, he warned me in 2017 that Barack Hussein Obama and John McCain, as Obama was literally days from walking out of the Oval Office door, were seeking to set up a commission that would draft America's daughters. We warned about this, Udell and I, on several TV shows and on the 58 stations that carry my daily radio show. And we warned that this commission included many liberals, many people that are radicals tied to Barack Obama, and then a former military man turned woman, a transgender. We told you that they would not only recommend drafting America's daughters, requiring they sign up for selective service, but that they would try to mandate national community service, and that this would include the fact that they could not carry out their community service at conservative organizations. Well, then in March of 2020, the commission finally released their report. We did over 2 one-hour TV shows, and I played or showed you screenshots from this very report. You can see that I have flagged it up. We've gone over it on radio, on television. Everything we said was going to be in this report, well, it was pretty much in this report. This is going to be a bait and switch. Young people will be encouraged by the power of the law, both men and women, to sign up for selective service, as young men are required to do now, young women will have to do. But then I believe what they will do is say, you won't have to worry so much about having to go to active duty should there be a draft. Volunteer for a year or two of national service. This national service will be nothing more than brainwashing centers. And as was in the GIVE Act that I warned about, in my book, Grave Influence, that I wrote in 2008, that came out in 2009, Barack Obama pushed the GIVE Act, and it set up the beginning of this idea of national service. The legislation actually prohibited people, young people, from being on the worship team of their church or in any way involved with their church. Why would you want to separate a young person from their church? Because that's how brainwashing operates. Before we go to Udell Meyer, I want to show you some screenshots, set the stage for him to join us. We're also going to talk about the vaccine being mandated onto the U.S. military, as well as critical race theory, Marxist ideologies, the stand down of promoting people in the military until they could find the extremist, which means finding people that are patriots, conservatives, constitutionalists, Christians. We went over the extremism stand down document from the U.S. Navy many months ago. He'll join us to talk about that as well. We have an awful lot to talk about, but let's first go to some graphics. Tonight's topic begins with defense bill to require America's daughters to register for military draft. and force all students into brainwashing programs disguised as service learning. Here is the radio show, a screenshot of the description of that radio show. February 20th, 2018. Udell Meyer and I began to talk about this extensively. There's the proof. Here's the screenshot of the New York Post, July 23rd, just 2 days ago, 2021. Senate defense budget bill would require women to register for draft. New York Post again. Senate panel backs $25 billion Pentagon boost, setting up budget battle. So they've put this into the Defense Authorization Act, folks. And now they got to try to make sure it doesn't end up in the final legislation approved by the House and the Senate. Josh Hawley, U.S. Senator from Missouri, on the 23rd of July, 2021, tweeted this. It's one thing to allow American women to choose this service, but it's quite another to force it upon our daughters, sisters, and wives. Missourians feel strongly that compelling women to fight our wars is wrong, and so do I, end quote. Well, this is an article from the Center for Military Readiness. They've been warning about this for a very long time as well. They put out a report just this past week as well. They say for the following reasons and more, misguided quests for equality, put that in quotes, in selective service would hurt women and undermine military readiness. How so? They explain. Due to physical differences that will not change, the selective service system would have to divert scarce time and resources trying to evaluate and train thousands of women, justifying the small percentage who might be minimally qualified for the combat arms. As law professor emeritus William A. Woodruff has explained in a detailed analysis, if selected service called up women and men ages 18 to 26 in roughly equal numbers, the administrative burden of finding the theoretical 1 in 4 women who might be qualified would make it more difficult to find and mobilize better qualified persons. Folks, don't you think that the enemies of America just love the idea of our bureaucrats wasting time and precious dollars trying to find the politically correct quota of women that can go and serve in combat? Maybe 1 in 4, maybe 1 in 4 who could actually pass the physical standards, even though those have been lowered for them. And then what do you think that will do to our combat readiness? How many young men who have obviously a mother and maybe a sister or a female cousin and friends, maybe even a wife, will have the innate God-given response to get between the enemy and that woman, or to come to her aid, or to neglect his own safety or that of his fellow soldiers looking out for her because of that God-given ornate desire to be the defender and provider for women? Then there's the issue of, well, sexual relations in the military. This is already becoming an issue, and sexual assaults. There's so many issues here that are a problem. But what does it say about our nation when we're willing to put our daughters on the front line of combat and mandate on them this action? What does it say? How many men are left in this country? Fathers, uncles, grandfathers, religious leaders that will stand up and tell the U.S. government, this is not America. What would John Wayne and Ronald Reagan say about this when defending the more delicate gender was just simple common sense? What would such men say about this today? What does the Bible say about the responsibility of men when it comes to protecting women or daughters or granddaughters? The Center for Military Readiness goes on to state, women would jam up and slow the induction system during a time of catastrophic national emergency, creating a political crisis and a paralyzing administrative overload that would weaken our armed forces at the worst possible time, end quote. And isn't that the goal of the social engineers, the communists, the globalists that are here in America, turning our military into a social experiment? This is their goal. These are enemies within. We have foreign enemies, but we also have domestic enemies, and they would love to do anything and everything they can using political correctness to destroy, weaken, and burden our military and our readiness. The Center for Military Readiness goes on to say, one of the National Commission's recommendations suggested that the purpose of selective service should be shifted away from combat replacement requirements, an obvious and unnecessary step, toward national service. Well, my friends, that's this report put out March of 2020 that, again, I did 2 one-hour TV shows on, Inspired to Serve, the final report of the National Commission on Military, National, and Public Service. And what they're recommending is not just drafting America's daughters, but mandatory volunteerism. That's an oxymoron. They call it national service. Well, the Center for Military Readiness also agrees with what I've been writing about for years, and they state recently in their own article, the commission's final report lumped together two major issues, national service and co-ed conscription, as if young people could avoid the latter by accepting the former. Folks, this will be the bait and switch. You sign up for selective service, ladies, but if you volunteer for national service, you won't have to worry about getting into combat or being drafted. This is a way to push people into something they otherwise would not want to do. But this isn't just about women. This is about pushing all of our young people into what I believe is nothing less than new little brown shirts, making them into social justice warriors. And when we began to talk about this with Udell Myers in 2018, when this report came out in March of 2020, when I wrote about these kind of ideas already underway, when I wrote Grave Influence in 2008 and it came out in 2009, we could not have imagined then that we would have a chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, a man who is a disgrace to the uniform, and by his very words, I believe is the equivalent of spitting on the graves of countless servicemen who gave their last full measure of devotion by declaring that our military should teach critical race theory to our troops. This is communism. Men who laid down their life fighting communism would be appalled to know that a piece of human trash like General Milley, who is a disgrace to his uniform and should be, in my opinion, brought up on charges of treason, would suggest that we should indoctrinate our troops into communism. Notice, he went on to try to paint this as acceptable because we should learn about all kinds of ideas. There's a difference between learning about an idea and approving of it. And then he went on to talk about he wanted to understand white rage, tied this to January 6th, which turns out largely to be an insurrection carried out by the FBI, according to numerous reports. And then he declares this is a connection to the South and the racism of slavery. Let's not forget, it was the Democratic South, the Democrats of the South that pushed this. The Republicans are the ones that set them free. But my guess is that's not something General Milley would understand, even though he prides himself on being a historian, because he goes on to talk about the Three-Fifths Compromise as though this somehow didn't count black people as full people because of racism. No, that's not why at all. It had to do with population count. How many members would be represented in the U.S. Congress per state? And taxation. And it was known as the Three-Fifths Compromise. But again, perhaps General Milley is educated by beyond his intelligence. But when all of this was going on, this panel being formed in 2017, this report coming out in 2020, my book predicting these things were underway already with the Give Act by Barack Obama, which again, I wrote in 2008, came out in 2009. We could have never envisioned we would have a chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff who in 2021 would say these things. And so don't tell me that we don't have enemies, foreign and domestic, whether they mean to or not. Maybe they're just useful idiots. That's an historical term, not calling anyone a name. It's an historical term used by Lenin. This will destroy our U.S. military. They go on to say at the Center for Military Readiness, a major question remains unanswered. Where in the U.S. Constitution is there authorization for the federal government to commandeer the lives of young people for less than compelling reasons? The final report failed to recognize whether Congress should replace America's presumption of freedom under the U.S. Constitution with a presumption of service directed by the government. Well, here's that report I keep referring to that came out in March of 2020. And when we went to search the group behind it, it's tied right back to AmeriCorps Vista. And what did they say on their own website? Community change agent. That's what they want to create. Thinks globally, thinks global, acts local, believes in social justice, champions sustainable solutions. That's sustainable development. That's globalism. This was right there on the AmeriCorps Vista website, which was part of this National Commission, Military National Public Service report. They want to make change agents. That's not what our government is for, and we should not be tying our U.S. military into our schools, particularly when it's going to be run by the likes of General Milley, Chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff, that thinks we should be teaching communism, critical race theory. A few bullet points before we go to our guest. Right out of this Inspired to Serve report, we read, taken together, our recommendations offer a revolutionary, indeed it is, an inclusive approach to service for Americans, beginning with comprehensive civic education and service learning starting in kindergarten. Service year opportunities so that service becomes a rite of passage for millions of young people, and new and revitalized service options for adults of any age, background, or experience. We envision a common expectation of service among the American people so that no one is surprised by the question, how have you served, or how will you serve? They go on to define national service means civilian participation in any non-government capacity, including with private for-profit organizations and non-profit organizations, listen now, including with appropriate faith-based organizations. Wait a minute, what did it say? Including with appropriate faith-based organizations that pursues and enhances the common good. So it's got to be appropriate. So let me ask you this. You think you're going to be able to do your community national service with a pro-life group? A group that opposes communism, globalism? No, it's going to have to be, quote, appropriate. They'll have to approve of it. Service learning is an instructional approach that integrates classroom teaching and reflection with community service projects. Service learning techniques may be applied in virtually any class, including science and mathematics, and provide students with meaningful experiences by exposing them to the values of service, such as commitment, contribution to community, and collaboration. Well, when is it the job of the schools to teach these values? Collaboration. What's collaboration? Collaboration, by its very term, is about group consensus, coming together in a group consensus. The report went on to say, establish new models for national service, awarding national service fellowships to support individuals participating in a service year at any certified nonprofit organization. Again, it has to be certified, folks. You think they could volunteer at a conservative, constitutional, Bible-believing, patriotic organization? I doubt it. Those groups, by the way, are just fronts for what? Domestic terrorists, right? That's what we're told. So it'll have to be certified nonprofit organizations will significantly expand the universe of opportunities for national service. And then who is involved in writing this report? Many, including Ms. Skelly, served in the Obama administration as the director of the Office of Executive Secretariat at the U.S. Department of Transportation. Look below. Ms. Skelly served on active duty in the U.S. Navy for 20 years as a naval flight officer, retiring with the rank, of commander prior to joining the Obama administration in 2013. We also find that she helped start this group out in national security, speaks fearlessly in defense of the LGBTQIA+ rights, connects like-minded national security practitioners, advances American interest, and improves American security. We find by her own bio there, in 2017, President Obama appointed Sean to serve as commissioner on the newly established National Commission on Military National Public Service. Sean was recognized as one of a group of transgender veterans in the 2017 OUT 100. This is who's going to make this decision for you. And by the way, they want, according to this commission report, going to Congress, and the legislation is now pending right now, as part of the Defense Authorization Act, high school, a prerequisite to receiving a high school diploma. A prerequisite to receiving a high school diploma, each pupil shall, in addition to other course requirements, successfully complete at least 1 year of civic education coursework in accordance with the standards of framework adopted by the Secretary of Education, the SEA. I think that's what that stands for. If I go back in my notes. Civic education coursework may be divided into two semesters and include an experimental component. At the completion of a full year of civic education coursework, each pupil shall successfully pass an assessment designed to measure higher order skills. Higher order thinking skills, folks, is nothing more than Benjamin Bloom, and I write about him in my whole chapter of my book, Great Influence. Higher order thinking skills is attitudes, values, feelings, and beliefs as developed by psychologist, behavioral psychologist Benjamin Bloom. It's also known as outcome-based education. But they want to make sure that you have to pass this federal test, which they want to use the National Assessment of Educational Progress test to have a national test tied to national curriculum. And if you don't pass this test and do this public service, you don't graduate from high school. Do you know that I wrote a book in 1995 called Reclaiming a Nation at Risk, where I predicted this in great detail? Great detail in my book, 1995, Reclaiming a Nation at Risk, because the legislation was already underway then, school to work. Margaret Mead, a radical lesbian, feminist, wanted this as well. This is not new. And then they said, in reviewing the question of whether selective service registration should include women, the commission seriously considered a wide range of deeply felt moral, legal, and practical arguments and explored the available empirical evidence. The commission concluded that the time is right to extend selective service registration to include men and women between the ages of 18 and 26. Well, we already know what their goal is, right? We also know that in the Obama Give Act in 2008, Obama will call on citizens of all ages to serve America by developing a plan to require 50 hours of community service in middle school and high school and 100 hours of community service in college every year. This was on Obama's campaign website. When it got a lot of criticism, they took it down. But listen to this. The original federal law, and we'll have to watch for this to see if it comes back around. In the original Give Act federal law, the students that participated in this, the ones that participated in this, quote, they cannot engage in religious instruction, conducting worship services, providing instruction as part of a program that includes mandatory religious instruction or worship, constructing or operating facilities devoted to religious instruction or worship, maintaining facilities primary or inherently devoted to religious instruction or worship, or engage in any form of religious proselytization, end quote. In other words, your kid is going to be cut off from church. Can't even be a part of worship service or painting the church or cleaning the church. Why would you do this? Because any successful brainwashing operation requires that the children are isolated. And again, as you see on the screen, Michelle Obama and Barack Obama were heavily involved in this through a group known as Public Allies. Even Investors Business Daily in 2008 said, Big Brother has nothing on the Obamas. They plan to herd American youth into government-funded re-education camps where they'll be brainwashed into thinking America is a racist, oppressive place in need of social change. But its Public Allies' real mission is to radicalize American youth and use them to bring about social change through threats, pressure, tension, and confrontation. The tactics used by the father of community organizing, Saul the Red Alinsky. Our alumni are more than twice as likely as 18 to 34-year-olds to engage in protest activities, Public Allies boast in a document founded with its tax filings. It's already deployed an army of 2,200 community organizers like Obama to advocate for justice and equality in his hometown of Chicago and other cities, including Cincinnati, Los Angeles, Milwaukee, New York, Phoenix, Pittsburgh, and Washington. I get to practice being an activist, and I get paid for it, gushed Cincinnati recruit Amy Vincent. When they're not protesting, they're staffing AIDS clinics, handing out condoms, bailing criminals out of jail, and helping illegal aliens and homeless obtain food stamps and other welfare. Folks, this is Investors Business Daily. Public Allies brags that more than 80% of graduates have continued working in nonprofit or government jobs, is training the next generation of nonprofit leaders, future social entrepreneurs. It was too touchy-feely, said Nellie Nebelis, 29, of the 2005 Los Angeles class. There's a lot of talk about race, a lot of talk about sexism, a lot of talk about homophobia, talk about isms and phobias. Investors Business Daily says in 2008, Obama wants to fully fund it and expand it into a national program that sees some costing $500 billion. Quote, we've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded, end quote, as the military, he said. The article concluded, the gall of it all. The Obamas want to create a boot camp for radicals who hate the military and stick American taxpayers with the bill. Well, my friends, if you think, well, I'll homeschool and get my kid around this. No, the commission says to receive a high school diploma, even as a homeschooler, all homeschooled pupils shall be required to pass an assessment in civic education as described in Section 4C and shall complete a student-led applied civics project as described in Section 5B. This is going to apply to homeschoolers. So don't think for 1 minute you're going to get around this, folks. Not only that, we're going to have to watch how this final legislation reads. I found this today. This was from last July. The National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2020 included, as part of the program under subsection, the Secretary of Defense shall seek to encourage and provide support to Department of Defense contractors to enable such contractors to carry out activities to promote interest in careers in STEM disciplines. Science, technology, engineering, isn't that math, that kind of thing. Such activities may include, for students of elementary schools and secondary schools, establishing volunteer programs in elementary schools and secondary schools, receiving assistance under Part A of Title I of the Elementary Secondary Education Act of 65. Here's the problem. Do you really want now the liberal Department of Education getting involved in our schools? This is not just the merging of big government and big business and the nonprofit world that where they can volunteer. Now we're going to take the liberal military mindset and incorporate it into our school and education, where we conscript these kids into national service called national learning. Well, we've already seen the model. I warned about it in my book, Grave Influence. It came out in 2009 with the Give Act of 2008 that the Obamas were pushing. And this whole thing was cooked up by Barack Hussein Obama himself and John McCain, literally, as Obama was days from walking out of the Oval Office. They set up the commission. Udell Meyer and I began to warn about it in February of 2018. They released their report finally in March of 2020. You've seen some of what's in it tonight with screenshots. And now the Senate panel has just passed this week, shoving this out of committee. And now we better get busy, or they will not only draft America's daughters, require them to sign up for selective service. This whole thing will be applied also to boys and girls in order to get out of school. You're going to have to go to so many hours of brainwashing, and they're even going to apply it to homeschoolers. Joining me now, after that introduction, is United States Marine Corps retired Captain Udell Myers. Captain Myers, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you for joining me once again to warn the American people about this project.
Well, thank you, Brandon, and to those of you that are privileged to hear Brandon's analysis, I just want to encourage you. I've been studying this for a considerable period of time, and I know of no one who has analyzed the history of this movement to the degree that Brandon has. So if you want to be in the know without having read and studied the volumes of information that Brandon has, then go to this site often, get this introduction. What I can say is amen, Brandon, to what you have shared. You hit on the key elements of the agenda and objective of our enemy within, of those who want to destroy our country. And to do so, they must destroy our military. And so clearly this whole establishment of the National Commission on Military, National, and Public Service was designed to do what it is very effectively doing already. Regardless of where it goes right now with the registration of women for the draft, it has already had an impact on men that are in the service and those that are considering coming in. I think one element that people are not aware of is that young men who have a sense of accountability in the way they're designed and believe that in their inner man that they are designed to be the protectors and defenders of women and children of the homeland. And the more there are those that are transgenders, LGBT community, and of the feminist movement of the women on the low end of the military, there are those men that I would call men that are questioning, Why am I getting into this? Am I going to have to conform to a lower standard of manhood to serve in the military? It's really gotten to that point. And those that are in will either conform to the design now for these gender dysphoria as well as the feminist movement, or they will be passed over. And there are ultimatums being given out now, relative, which we can speak of later, but to the vaccine. It is said at this point, you don't have to take it, but. And everything else that follows is restriction on new assignments, on travel. It basically says, either get it or you will be out. Also, people that remain in, they are very concerned about making right decisions and someone calling foul, be it because they chose someone of a different gender or a different race, then they will come back and claim that that person has a bias or a prejudice, whether it's racial or gender oriented, when really the good commander is looking for the qualities that need to be there. And in combat arms, the men have that. The men are designed by God to do that. I respect women. I believe that, as in Proverbs 31, 10 through 31, that the onus is on men a lot, in that women have not been what they says her price is far above rubies. Such a woman of God, a virtuous woman whose price is far above rubies, and her children rise and call her blessed, and her husband praises her. I think men have neglected to praise those things that God has designed in women that we are ultimately dependent on. I think that this has caused the feminist movement to some degree, for women not finding that they have a sense of respect and significance. And so where do men find it? And so they've broken this glass ceiling and that glass ceiling and that glass ceiling. But in their inner self, there will be no satisfaction, even if they become the commandant of the Marine Corps or in any office within the military, because they're not designed that way.
But what about all the women that don't want to do this? We know Margaret Mead has said, that this would be, this national service, I didn't give the quote, I showed it on the screen, but the quote is that, this would lead women away from the home. These feminists, they don't want women to choose. I don't know if it was Betty Friedan or Margaret Mead or Gloria Steinem, but it was one of these that said that women should not have the choice of marriage and bearing children, because if they have that choice, that's what they're going to do. So this is about also destroying the traditional family, which has been the goal of Karl Marx from the beginning, as he called for communal wives in the Communist Manifesto, because he understood that the family was the incubator for passing on the values of the free market system. And certainly here in America, that's what underpins our constitutional republic, is those Judeo-Christian values. Well, if you break down the family, you're never going to pass on those values, because there won't be another generation to pass them on to, because you've destroyed that incubator, the family.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. So we're losing on two fronts, the home and the family, which I would put as the primary. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. All you have to do is look at the history of men that attributed their values, the principles, to a mother. John Newton, for example, and many others spoke to a godly mother who was a keeper at home and bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So yes, it's going to be a two-pronged impact on family and on the military. But it's been a process, as you have explained, it's been going on for quite some time. And so I see a movement where the Marxists are accomplishing the mission to emasculate the military. And we're going to lose our effectiveness, and it already is happening. I've been around this long enough to have observed that we've been involved ever since my involvement with the military starting in 1963, and through our ministries over the years to the military subsequent to my active service. I have seen the cultural change, and I've asked why they have that view, and of course they got it in various courses in college. They have been brainwashed by those secular humanists, starting with John Dewey and his progressive education. I remember I wrote a paper on him. And at that time, I didn't fully understand why he was called the father of progressive education. But now I understand that the progressive is inseparably tied to communism, socialism, just another term that's kind of stealthing in there. But it's all one and the same.
Speaking of stealthy, by the way, do you agree that this is going to be a bait and switch, a stealthy bait and switch? We're going to now add women to the selective service, 18 to 26. And as the Center for Military Readiness seems to think the same thing I'm thinking, which is I think they're going to offer up, you can avoid being ever drafted or having to do any kind of military service if you do 1 or 2 years of national service. Is this a carrot and stick approach?
It could be. I'm not so sure that they'll follow through with the other for this reason. First, they have to get the Article 13 changed. Article 13 came about after the Civil War that said that conscription cannot be applied except for military service. And so that will be authorized if women register for the draft. But for anything else, the government cannot conscript or make it mandatory for the 17 to 25-year-old males and females to do a public or national service.
Except for under a national crisis of some kind, right?
Well, yeah, they can. Well, I think they would have to, if you look again at Article 13, they would have to change that. They don't have to change that for women registering for the draft and being called up to serve, because ever since that article was put in, the exemption to conscription was save for the military service. And so I don't see how that program that they put out there, and a lot of it was a real appeal to the flesh more than public service. It was pitched in the sense of, you do 2 years of service, you will be able to get the advantages of, like, the military serve, they get the GI Bill.
Yeah.
They get all of these things that were there. So it was,
in other words, just so I understand, and this is what I wrote in my book in Grave Influence 2008, came out in 2009, they're going to tie money. So you do the 2 years of service, then you'll get your college paid for, or half your college paid for.
Exactly.
If you then, after you go through this and you finish school, you keep up with it, then you can start getting stipend for housing. I guess how it work is you would get money for school, money for housing. If you keep up the program originally, as I wrote about and documented from the sources, you would start getting paid. So the whole idea is to bribe them, particularly with colleges having kids today have as much college debt and everything. It seems as though that might be the carrot is, we're going to give you money. We're going to pay you.
I like that expression, because it's really was a candy-coated carrot. And as we discussed some time back, they polled the public with 9 meetings around the country.
First, you went to one of them, right?
Yes, I went to Jacksonville, and it was loaded. I mean, there was the majority of the people there knew about it.
It was a stacked deck.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's the right term.
They never even actually advertised to the public far enough for people to find the location and be able to attend. But they clearly told all their liberal friends when and where far in advance.
Now, their whole purpose, of course, was to be able to, quote-unquote, legitimize their decision, because they had polled the public. So in those 9 meetings, and I did some research on it, there was less than 1,500 people that attended. And so they can say that because they were the bait and switch, they were appealing to them on this national and public service, and never even really, oh, by the way, it would mean also that they were registered for the draft that could be there. So I really think that the poll, if there was any positive at all, it was for people who were not realizing that this meant they could be drafted as well. So I'm not sure they'll go ahead with that. I think their primary objective, the hook and the bait and switch, as you said, the hook and the bait is to get women registered or military draft service for the selective service system. The other they might go through with, for the very reasons you stated, it gives them an opportunity to further indoctrinate them in the socialist philosophy of the godless philosophy of communism, socialism. And so I think they would like both to happen, but I know that the primary one, going all the way back to President Carter 1980 and so on down the line, is that, as you so well reviewed, the progression was mainly focused on getting women and the equality, the egalitarian, that women and men will share the burden of defense of the country. And the feminist movement now is kind of in a quandary, though, in regard to some of the things that they don't like about it. So it's going to be interesting how that shakes out.
And some people point to Israel and say, well, Israel does this. Oh. Well, that first of all, that's a very small country surrounded by countries that openly want to destroy them by their own statements. But these women, they go through their training and do their service and go home to their own house at night, their dad's house at night, and spend the night. They might carry their rifle with them. They go through some training. But it's not uncommon for Israeli men to go off to war and come back home at night because the country is so small. So it's a totally different situation because these people are going about their life and staying at home. They're not being separated from their families to do this because Israel's so small. Secondly, just because Israel doesn't make it right. Just because we stand with the nation of Israel doesn't mean we stand with everything their government does.
And Brandon, I researched this recently. It has been counterproductive as they've moved along with women. And now, of the women that are in the Israeli forces, less than 4% of those women are involved in frontline combat units because they have found out that it definitely impacts the cohesiveness of a unit to have the women in the unit. There's that distraction. Then there's this quarrel among the men. That one is paying more attention to her than another. It just is totally, the cohesive argument is 100% correct.
And I read, by the way, they were putting some of those women into things like watching monitors on the border and putting women into things that where they had shown they have a longer concentration, you know, and were more focused in certain jobs than men. And they put women in these non-combat roles.
As you mentioned earlier, is that they have found out, and I had a friend that was giving me the Israeli argument and showed a woman that was, you know, she had bandoliers of ammunition and hand grenades. And he said, how can you say that? Israel, of course, like you were saying, he was saying Israel should be our absolute standard, which it isn't, and if it violates the scriptures. But at any rate, those women that are in the service will know how to defend themselves. They will know how to use a weapon. But just because we see pictures like that, doesn't mean that they are on the front lines. There was a time when there were more than 4% of those women involved in combat units. And exactly what you described happened on several operations where when the woman got wounded, mission off, focused just innately from men that are men turned to aid and comfort of that woman. And it, the cohesion, the mission was compromised by that. And so it's Israel learned. They have backed off. But if people don't know that, then they're going to continue to hold Israel up as an example. And as you say, I mean, that's not worth doing, really. It's not.
Right. So let's move off of this into a few other things that are in our remaining 17 minutes. But the bottom line on this is this plan has been wrapped into the Defense Authorization Act. And people need to call their U.S. senator, their member of Congress, and tell them how they feel about this. Yes, I'm for selective service, signing up for the draft for women 18 to 26, or no, I'm not for it. They need to call their U.S. senators. They have two of them, and their House of Representatives, one of them, right?
Exactly. I've advocated this, a letter that I sent to President Carter the 3rd of February of 1980, where he was pushing in that direction. And I just quickly read this to you. And this is where it's never too late until it's too late. And I'll be honest with you, folks. It's almost too late. I mean, the darkness of the invasion of evil that has come, but it's still not too late. And if ever there was a time as such as this, as Esther, if I perish, I perish. We've got an eternity to look forward to. It's not like when we die that it's all over like these atheists, communists are. And so if you want to really be a valiant soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're living in a time where never in this country have we needed the courage that only God can give us to stand up and speak. But I just wrote to him when he was considering putting women in the draft. I got a response to this, you know, a very politically correct response. And I just said, you have my full support of reinstating the draft for men. I pray the Lord will swiftly rebuke and reprove and remove you from office if you approve the registration and or draft of women. I served in combat in Vietnam. OK, Captain T.U. Myers, USMC 087610. My civilian and military record speaks for my character and my devotion to my God and my country. If we must go to war, I'll be there so my women, my wife and three daughters can keep the home I'll be fighting to defend. God has directed that the women are to be keepers at home. If you are a brother in Christ as you profess to be, I am trusting that you will follow and keep his commandments, 1 John 2:4. If you are a hypocritical imposter of the faith, God will judge you, and I would pray that it be swiftly. If you approve the draft for women, you are neither of my God or my country, but an enemy of him and his people. I remain semper fidelis to God and country, Tolman Udell Myers. That was in 1980. Brandon, this fire has been burning in me, I think, because I'm a veteran fighting for the freedom of the South Vietnamese people against communism. I saw firsthand what communism did to those people and has done. And we surrendered them over to the communists, and we're surrendering our nation over the communists without a fight. We've got to get in the fight. We've got to be able to say with Paul that I fought a good fight. I finished the course. And with Stephen, that if that time comes, that the end of our course is to be persecuted for righteousness' sake, then we will, as he, be able to rejoice and pray for those who are doing it. Brandon, you have ignited a fire in many people, but they need to get that light out on the rooftops, on the mountaintops. And I think too often Satan thwarts people, think, well, I don't have an audience. You have family and you have neighbors, and little as much when God is in it. And their testimony of people that they were motivated by someone at work, someone who wasn't the president of the United States, someone who genuinely, as you and I, believe that what we believe is based on God's truth and God's word. So I just want to marshal the faithful, marshal the souls of the Lord Jesus Christ, that if you want your life to count, you have an opportunity now. And don't be a Jonah and try to jump ship off to Tarshish. A lot of people concluded that God's done with America. We're not God. We don't know. Ours is to stand and fight. And I just appreciate so much that you have given information to the people, given me an opportunity to speak to such a time as this. And I just pray that people will pray about, Lord, give me divine appointments that I will have opportunities to speak your truth into this situation.
Well, I appreciate your alerting me to this, the end of 2017 into early 2018, and our first radio show together on this in February of 2018. So that's 3.5 years we've been warning. And now this past week, this is coming out of a Senate committee, part of the Defense Authorization Act. And folks, I believe you need to let your two U.S. senators and your House representative member know how you feel about selective service for the draft, your daughters, your granddaughters, your nieces, having to sign up 18 to 26 years of age, potential for the draft. Not to mention, again, this whole proposal that they're going to embed into this is for national service, national volunteerism. And again, it's written in such a way that you will not be able to volunteer for conservative, Christian, patriotic groups. They will have to be approved by the government. And just what kind of groups do you think the government is going to approve that you can certifiably work with? Again, they're also calling for using the National Assessment of Educational Progress test, a test I've been warning about since the 1990s, as a national test. If we end up with a national test, they will then, the states, school districts, accept a national curriculum to prepare students to pass the national test, because dollars will follow those who get the best scores. And if you have a national test driving a national curriculum, this is Hitler's dream. Let me write the textbooks and I will control Germany. It's a quote attributed to Hitler, whether he said it or not. Some argue, but it's the same idea. Whoever writes the textbooks will control this country. You have a national test, mandated behind it will come a national curriculum to prepare them for the test, teaching to the test. And Brad, then you can imagine what will be in it. Yes, Captain.
Yes. I would just like to enlighten people, if they aren't following it, that from April, May, and June, the Secretary of Defense ordered a stand down.
Yes.
And seminars. And I have interviewed a number of people, both ranking officers and ranking enlisted, as to what transpired there. And the Christians who had discernment were readily able to see that evangelical Christians could be considered extremists. And you better watch them, because in this age of relativism, where there are no absolutes, and these Christians believe that the Bible is the absolute truth of God's word, that's extreme from what's normative. It's not extreme from the truth of the word. And then that they would believe such things single-mindedly as that there's only one way of salvation through Jesus Christ. The kind of things that a Christian would have occasion to say. And so people that do not embrace the truths of scriptures, they're putting in their minds, in the context of talking about certain extreme activities, and of course they're trying to tie in 6th January as part of that, and if they can find anybody that would be represented in what they call extreme. So I have two grandsons. We have two grandsons that are lieutenants in the United States Marine Corps that are very strong believers. And they had the discernment to know that they are more and more being suspect as extremists, when in fact the qualities and the values that they have are exactly what our military needs. But if we had a whole force of people like that, then communists could not find their objective of diminishing the power of our military. So these extremist seminars, then they will break out into groups, and then they'll have someone in each group that has a list of questions. And they could even determine if someone is possibly someone that better be watched as an extremist. This is the way to further remove people from a position of promotion. As with the virus, they're told, you don't have to have it, but. And if you don't, you won't be able to travel. You won't be able to go overseas in assignments. Basically, you will not promote, and that's the end of a career. And so we had a colonel for dinner the other night who is a reservist, and he does his duty up here. And we were talking about the vaccine. And he said, no, I haven't had the vaccine, but I self-identify as a vaccinated person. And I said, and you know, he brought his reason out. If a person's a male and he self-identifies as a female, there's no questions to ask. He can go into the girl's bathroom. So, you know, it's a double standard. And I don't know that he's really tested that out. But that's the ridiculousness of where we are today. So that's a threat as well. There's many things that are being put out there on people who stand on biblical principles, and skylining them as, watch out for these guys. And they're the very people that we need in the service.
What about General Milley and his comments on critical race theory? Did you see his comments?
Oh, I did. That it was revolting to me. I could not believe it. He was such a far reach from General Peter Pace, the Marine chair, when he stood against the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And he could have served 8 years under George W. Had he been reelected. But they got rid of him overnight and brought Admiral Mullins in, who greased the rails and told the military, we're going to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and if you don't like it, you need to leave. We had some field grade officers in here about the time that Peter Pace took that stand when the Tribune, Chicago Tribune, asked his opinion on it after his predecessor had said it's time to repeal. He said, absolutely not. And they said, why? And he said, because it's immoral behavior. And I have 3 statutes in the Uniform Code of Military Justice that say so. Well, they got rid of those statutes on sodomy laws. And, you know, he was gone and never got, he was almost immediately replaced. So there were some field grades in here at that time when we were here. And they said, what a shame. He could have been more discreet. He didn't have to be that strong on it. I said, gentlemen, he left with his integrity intact, his head held high, and semper fi. And he can live with that. That was the end of the discussion. But people will compromise. And I'm so sad to say that there's a dearth in our Corps right now for people like General Peter Pace, who will take a stand that is the right stand and be willing to take the consequences, because they had their moment of opportunity and they spoke to the truth.
I've got about 2 minutes left.
Yeah.
I asked you when you were in our documentary Sabotage on the stage there as we were filming at Lake of the Ozarks, if you ever expected when you were in Vietnam fighting the communists to see what's happening in America. We filmed that in the spring of 2018. Did you expect it to come to this?
I could see it coming, but it has come much faster than I expected. It has escalated beyond what I had expected and from more angles. It's not just a frontal assault by the forces of Satan, but they're coming from many different angles that just take our education system, the military, almost all of the structure that's out there in our culture is being used to erode or try to erode the principles of God's word upon which this nation was founded. So I would say I anticipated it, but I didn't expect to see it in my lifetime. And
so let me ask you this. If the military is supposed to be the buffer between us and a Marxist government or revolutionary government that gets off the rails, we don't have the protection anymore, the military, if they've been taken over. What are the American people left to do? Is this where we need to see governors, attorney generals, state legislatures standing up and asserting our 10th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution and banding together as states to let the federal government know that they are not our masters per the 10 Bill of Rights, not to mention the 10th Amendment
absolutely.
Of the U.S. Constitution?
If we had such congressmen and senators. We do have a very, very few, and we need to pray for them because they are standing almost alone, and the rest are protecting their political careers. So those that we know, and we know who they are, and their skyline, as we would say, when you take a hill and you get on that crest of that hill, you're skyline, you're a target. They know that, but they're bold enough and courageous enough. We need to pray for them. And little as much when God is in it. And they are at high risk when they do that. And they know it. And we need to pray for them. But we have our own hills to take in our own communities. And so we need to be wherever we are. We need to be fighting the good fight of faith.
Well, we need more people running for sheriff, for
every
county
office.
Commissioner, yeah. School board. County, you know, or city council, we need to be putting in chief of police, as I said, sheriffs who will stand up to this tyranny, whether from the state capitol or the U.S. capitol. And we need to reassert again our constitutional God-given rights because the law is on our side. These people are the ones who are lawless.
Amen. Absolutely. You're spot on, Brandon. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be a part of what you're doing.
Well, thank you for your service. You're of what age now, sir?
82 this Thursday.
82, happy birthday. And you're serving in ministry to the military.
Yes, sir.
Where are you serving and where are you actually physically tonight?
We are Marine Corps Base, Quantico, Virginia, just 25 miles south of the Capitol. And this is called the Capitol Region down here. So we have a lot of opportunities to firsthand meet people that are there, and the ones that are fighting the battle, we have some opportunities with them. So yes,
and you have a place they can come to and eat and fellowship, and it's a place for Christian ministry to the active military.
Absolutely, it's called the Rally Point. We're in here right now.
Wow. Well, folks should pray for you, and if they want to get in touch with you, do they have a way to do that?
Well, I'm with a group called Christian Military Fellowship in Englewood, Colorado. You can go online and Google it up, CMF, Christian Military Fellowship, and there's a website, and it will tell you about that, and it will tell you about our ministry in Quantico, and we're going to have more on that website very soon. So Christian Military Fellowship, and with the internet service, you'll be able to find that and find out more about it, and then it gives our contact information on that as well. So if you want to do that, take that initiative, we'd love to hear from you, and we really would appreciate your prayers.
And support. And they can support you. They can support you financially, too, could they not?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we appreciate their being a part of it, part of the team. Thank you, Brandon.
Thank you, Captain. Captain Udell Myers checking in tonight. Well, folks, again, do you know of another show that has presented what we've presented to you tonight, including the screenshots of the commission? Now this is moving quickly through Congress and the Senate panel. I mean, again, we've laid it out for you, and we've been doing it for a long time. In my book, 2009 Grave Influence, warning this was coming, and how Udell and I have been on this, Captain Myers and I have been on this since February 2018 with lots of radio shows and TV shows. Where's Fox News? Where are the other outlets on this?
Yeah.
Well, we know they're silent. And so, my friends, if you want this broadcast to continue, we are the Worldview Weekend Hour. I've been here every Sunday night since 2015, broadcasting live. We're now happy to be broadcasting not only at WVWTV.com/live, but on frankspeech.com, Lindell TV, TV 30 in Milwaukee, and any of the other outlets that pick us up. But if you want WVWTV to continue producing this show and making it available to you and posting it online, as we will later, at WVWTV.com for you to watch free of charge, we need your support. Right now, the last report I got, our monthly bandwidth bill is about $8,000. $8,000 a month for us to give away free programming, free TV shows, free radio shows. Free TV at WVWTV.com. Free radio at WorldviewRadio.com. If you appreciate all the free programming we do, like this show right here, not to mention the others we produce with Sharam Haidee and Andy Woods, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and the list, Usama Dakdok, and the list goes on and on. You can support us through our non-profit organization, WVW Foundation. You can make a tax-deductible contribution now to continue allowing us to push out free programming and the bandwidth bills and other costs for free ministry. WVWFoundation.com, WVWFoundation.com. You'll also find our mailing address there if you'd like to send a check, and you can give over the phone during normal business hours by calling our office number you'll find on the website at WVWFoundation.com. Thank you so much for watching. Till next time, I'm Brandon House. Take care.